everyone, and welcome to episode 248 of the Canadian Football Countdown, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network and the Alternative Football Network. Ryan, Adam, and Trey here with you this evening for our 2024 CFL Draft Preview. Today is Wednesday, April 24th. The draft takes place, Tuesday, April 30th. I believe that's a Tuesday, if the quick math is correct. So less than a week away from the CFL draft and the next round of CFL prospects getting picked by their respective teams. We're here to give a high-level overview of the draft today. We are not your draft prospect experts. There are other there's other CFL content out there if you would like that. We don't know a ton about the prospects, but we do know the order teams are picking. We do know the team rosters, and I think we can make some speculation of what kinds of strategies they may go with based on that. So we'll talk through all of that today. We'll talk through some big news on a recently retired CFL star shortly, and everyone's favorite topic, the air quotes salary cap. In the CFL news has come out. We'll talk about all that today. We'll take your comments and questions as well in our live chat over on our YouTube and Facebook feeds. Thanks to presenting sponsor Game Time TV. Learn more at gametimetv.ca or facebook.com/gametimetvmb. All right, let's bring in the rest of the crew here this evening. First, it's great Adam Stewart. Adam, how are you doing today?
Hey, doing good. Anytime it's 22 above on an April day in Saskatchewan, that's a pretty good day. And yeah, lots of things going on, lots of seating things getting planned out. And polishing a blue tractor. Yeah, that's the only thing I'll say that's really nice and blue. Right, Trey?
Yeah, I mean, the Leafs and the Jets aren't doing too good, and they're in blue, I guess. But yeah, no, doing okay. Just chugging along, life, man, getting ready for football season. I don't know how I'm going to handle everything with all what I got going on, but football season's coming, guys. And our first home preseason game is the 31st. I guess the Rider Bombers go to Saskatchewan a few weeks before that, so it's coming up, man. I'm getting excited. And seeing all these people, seeing Pat McAfee talk about the whiteout makes me think, oh, man, Princess Auto Field's way better than the whiteout party, man. So if you want to come to Winnipeg, Pat, come to see that. He shit talks the CFL, so I don't know if we should let him. But
yeah, I have seen him hyping up the Jets. Everybody's been hyping up the whiteout. Of course, hockey playoffs in full swing. We'll talk maybe a little bit about that at the end of the show if you're watching on the YouTube feeds and that. We're going to switch it up a little bit from how we've done it in the past, where normally you listen to us talk about the CFL for like an hour, and then we'll ramble on about random topics and then close out the show. We're going to do it differently. We're going to close it out after the CFL topics, this time around. That's what's going to get posted to the audio podcast feeds as well. And then, after we play the outro at the end, we'll go beyond the countdown. And we'll hang around for a little while and chat about random topics, take more questions in the chat. So look forward to that at the end of the show as well. Last time out on the podcast, Adam and I had a fun discussion on game themes was one of the big topics. Teams announcing their home game themes. And Adam, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm wearing my this particular shirt tonight to remind you that green is, in fact, the color.
Yes, and delight eye teeth, you need to be wearing that shirt, apparently.
I planned to wear this shirt yesterday, not going to lie, and then thought about this and was like, no, I have to wear the green shirt just for Adams.
Well, it is the color. I mean, it's pretty much non-negotiable. At least it's not a salmon shirt in the middle of a whiteout.
Oh, man. It's bad enough just being the one guy wearing the home jersey, man. You know what I mean? But wearing... not color like that.
And again, the Simpsons nail it.
Did they actually?
Well, I mean, they had that one episode where Homer wore a salmon shirt to work while everybody else was wearing a white shirt. So, you know.
Okay, we'll come back to this and be on the countdown at the end of the show because I've never seen an episode of The Simpsons. I want to know how this keeps happening. We'll talk about it later. But we're going to talk about a bunch of CFL stuff. Your draft preview today, next week, will be after the draft. So we'll recap the draft, and then we'll start getting into our season preview content. Before we do go any further, I don't want to forget to acknowledge that the Canadian Football Countdown is brought to you from Treaty 1 territory, traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Dene peoples in the homeland of the Métis Nation, as well as from Treaty 4 territory, traditional territory of the Cree, Soto, Dakota, Lakota, Nakota, and Métis Nation. Also, before we get into the main content, there's a link in the episode description to our Discord community. Come join us over there. Maybe we'll chat along during the CFL draft this week, this upcoming week as well. Lots of CFL chatter, NFL chatter. The NFL draft is, I think, this week as well. NHL playoffs going on. Lots of sports stuff that you can talk with us in between episodes there if you if that's something that interests you. Link in the description. It is free to join. All right, let's get to our first CFL topic. Before we get to our draft preview, a couple of big news items that have come out. Was it last week? 2 weeks ago, I think we talked about the great Sean Lemon deciding to hang up the cleats after signing an extension with the Montreal Alouettes. And, he was not scheduled to play next season already, and he certainly won't be now, because the league dropped a bombshell today that Sean Lemon has been suspended indefinitely for wagering on the CFL back in 2021 while he was a member of the Calgary Stampeders. I forget where. I think I may have read it. It even included one game that he played in. So he's been suspended for the CFL on this. I think it's fitting to go to a resident betting expert here first. Trey, thoughts on...
man. Yeah, he seems to break the one golden rule is he can't... It's one thing to bet on sports, and it's even one to bet on... Oh, can you hear my kid crying? Oh my god, that's so loud. I can hear he's losing his mind.
Need to step away from
him? No. His mom's in there. He's just losing his mind. By the train of thought here. Yeah, you broke the golden rule to bet on your team in a game you're in. That's the biggest golden rule, which I think you can't do. I was having discussions on Twitter. Like, some people don't understand this whole betting on yourself thing, if you bet on your team to win or betting on the over. But then someone else made the comment too, like, you know, what if a quarterback bets the over on his receiver, then he's just going to do everything and throw to that receiver all day that might not actually benefit the win too, right? Yeah. Like, if Caleros does nothing but throw it to Waller Tarski, you know, because his over might be a bigger odds than someone like Dembski or Lawler or you know, something like that. Yeah. And are the Bombers really going to win? They're not going to care about the win as long as you get the over. So, oh man, he's really upset. Maybe I will have to leave after this, but
no problem.
I'll get my thoughts through here. Huge tarnish his reputation. It's one of those arguments I get both sides, because again, in horse racing, you're completely allowed to bet on your own horse because there isn't prop betting. It's my number one. There isn't certain things like that. But even with being allowed to bet on horse racing, it's caused its own problems, and it's not as regulated as these sports gambling sites are. My biggest issue is, how did it take 3 years to ding him? You know, yeah. Porter in the NBA, 2 days. It took the NBA 2 days to find out. And then they knew what was going on. It just took another couple of weeks before they got all their ducks in a row to suspend him forever. How does this take 3 years in the modern era? Like, I don't understand. What does he he hit it that well. And to me, what's the benefit of this? Like, I get it to a degree. See, I get cheating in sports. If you do the PEDs, all that, because that helps you win. But betting on yourself, like, or betting against yourself, it just seems so dollar amount, and it seems so anti what the purpose of sports is, right? To the players. It's turned into, yes, they're $100 million contracts or $1 billion contracts if you're Otani. It's turned into stats, it's turned into this, but it's really about winning the damn cup, right? You want to win the Stanley Cup, you want to win the Grey Cup. And just betting on this, it tarnishes everything. Like, Pete Rose is one of the best baseball players of all time. And I bet Barry Bonds gets in the Hall of Fame before he does, just because of this tarnishing gambling has had in sports. And I just think it's such a I'm really upset about it, because Sean Lemon's the beauty. You know what I mean? He's been the face of this league to some degree. He's been on several teams. He came back and led Montreal to this championship, which, you know, I don't know. It just kind of tarnishes it all to me. Same thing if Otani gets caught doing something. You know what I mean? Even though Otani didn't get caught, it just ruins so much of the sport for me. Adam, like, I know you're not as big of a gambler, man, but what do you think about it?
I know I'm in the same boat as you are. It ruins the game. It ruins that reputation of the player. And unfortunately, this is a guy that, you know, he's been around everywhere in the CFL for a long time right now. He was on so many teams. And it's just a disappointment, A, on the CFL's behalf, that Trey nailed it on the head. How does it take you 3 years to find out that this guy was betting on a game against BC when he was in Calgary? I mean, come on. It should not take you that many days to figure this out. I know there's other things that they're probably working on and everything else. And I know that they mentioned that, oh, well, our Genia sports programs will find be able to track this and chase this out. Yeah, I seen the laugh, Trey. All right. It's not Genia Sports' problem. This is a CFL executive issue. This should have been dealt with 2.5 years ago, if at the very latest. It took the NHL, as Trey was saying, with NBA, how long it took till he found a guy in half a day that he was betting on himself or to lose or to win or whatever it was. Ottawa had the same problem here this year with Senators. There was a player that was suspended for half a season for, again, betting when he's not supposed to be betting. So how does it take you 2.5 years, CFL? Sorry, but if I'm in the famous words of some certain Sportsnet announcer, do better.
I mean, this is not a league that's known for its prompt actions on cases.
Careful, Ryan.
I mean, it's 100% true, though, right?
Like, it is. I mean, the CFL is usually terrible at getting anything done at any fashion of speed. I mean, right now they have a current investigation into something else. And that's going to get buried under the wayside now with probably this.
Yeah, it's going to take 3 years to come up with a resolution on the Chad Kelly case. Like,
exactly. I mean, the guy could be retired before he, well, look at what happened here. Sean Lemon actually retired before they could get this case out. Now, I'm sure he retired because of this, but
I don't want to speculate on that wholeheartedly, but like, the timing's curious, right? Like, that he signed the contract extension with Montreal. He seemed to be excited to be a piece of it. And then up and out of nowhere, you know, he retired. And then shortly after that, we get this news coming out.
And you know, it's no news conference, no nothing. It was just a quick, quiet retirement on him. He didn't have anything really with Montreal or anything really to say. He just kind of, yep, thanks for memory. See ya.
But guys do that too, right? Which makes me kind of want to give them a little benefit of doubt in that sense of, like, we see so many guys just have a change of heart. We just had one last week we talked about with the Riders. Who was that? That at the last minute, the offensive line just mentioned he was.
Yeah, that was, shoot. Was but yeah, even the other one here, Jackson Bennett, I mean, he just finished retiring. He was only here for 3 or 4 years. But what I'm getting at is this is a guy that's been a defensive leader and one of the best in the CFL for many a years. And he's been known to be vocal. So that's why I would think this guy would want in the news conference and have a proper way of sending him off. Like I said, it's the circumstances are a little suspicious. Could be whatever. Maybe it is just coincidence. Nevertheless. He's getting the biggest fine or biggest suspension ever gotten, an indefinite suspension from the CFL. I don't know if they're continuing to investigate this or they're doing something else. Nevertheless, it makes the league look bad. It's making, of course, it's going to make Sean Lemon look bad. I don't know if I agree quite with Trey, if it makes the Montreal Alouettes Grey Cup win last year look a little bad. I don't think that's the case. I think more of that was just, you know, that's a team effort. It's a team game in the end. And they won it as a team, and Lemon contributed accordingly. So I don't think
And just to add to that, sorry to cut you off there, Adam, that, you know, this was when he was with Calgary in 2021. And like Trey had said, and Trey unfortunately did have to drop off, presumably for the rest of the episode. Maybe he'll be back later. I'm not sure. But I'm glad he was able to kind of give his take on this. Kind of like you said, like this isn't performance-enhancing drugs. It's not like Sean Lemon's doing stuff that's going to elevate the performance of the Alouettes beyond, like, did he bet on himself and then, you know, maybe try a little harder? I don't know, but it doesn't sound like he did that while he's with the Alouettes organization. So it doesn't taint their Grey Cup victory at all, in my my opinion. I can see how people might draw that conclusion because, you know, if this happened, was reported and actioned on a couple of years ago, would he be part of the team? That team was stacked on the defense last year. As much as he was a huge part of it, I think they still would have, you know, performed similarly. So, yeah, sucks to see news like this come out. It's definitely a gray area, fine line on betting. You know, to pull fantasy into the mix, it's always interesting to see. You'll see players out there filling out their fantasy teams. I know Austin Eckler in the NFL has his own like fantasy football podcast, or we've seen guys say they lost their fantasy championship to themselves, basically. And it's like, that's a gray area to begin with there too. But in those cases, I think there might be illegalities in there that they can't play for money. I think they might be allowed to play fantasy sports, but they can't play for money.
But you remember, like, this really does, though, put a big black eye on CFL and their some of their endorsements, right? I mean, they get big, the CFL gets big money from betting. Yeah. That's one of their main things that kind of kept them going, actually. And if you can't, if you're worried about the fundamentals and that somebody might be throwing a game or doing something, that can ruin the credibility of a CFL right away in betting, and that could lose a lot of betting income for the CFL. So I could see why the CFL is going to be so extremely strict on this. Then again, I don't know. Like I said, it's something new. It's unprecedented right now for the CFL. They're going to work through it, and well, we'll see what happens here. But again, 2.5 years, guys, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Great way to sum it up. Well, from one money topic to another, I guess, here. The CFL announced its salary cap fines this week. Teams, it is a soft cap like it is in almost every sport except the NHL. You can go over the cap by up to $100,000. If you go more, you'll get fined the amount you go over, I believe. If you go more than $100,000 over, according to this article on the CFL website, I think you might start losing some draft picks. Teams go over the cap every year. And this year there was only three of them though. The Hamilton Tiger Cats, went over by $2,655, that didn't pan out too well. But they were pretty close. The Bombers went over by $25,947. And the BC Lions went the closest at $85,979. So these three teams are getting fines while everybody else was under the cap. Kudos to the aforementioned Grey Cup champion Montreal Alouettes for getting it done with a roster underneath the salary cap, because... And I'm sad Trey couldn't stick around for this topic because I know he's passionate about it as well. You should always go over the soft cap. Absolutely. 100% of the time.
Yeah. I mean, what's the real penalty for going over the cap up to 100,000? I mean, if you start losing second, third round picks in the CFL draft, in a way, sometimes it really don't matter. But you know what? You don't want to really lose draft picks. That being said, you should go up to $99,999 as far as I'm concerned. Why not? You're paying just a league fine and saying, okay, sorry. The only one that makes me laugh is Hamilton, because that team is bad. I mean, besides Tim White, I mean, there was no reason to go over the cap if you're the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
I mean, it was so little over the cap, though. Like, we're talking $2,600. Like, we're talking what? Like, a week paycheck for Bo Levi Mitchell, if that, right? Or whatever. Like, it's not that. It's not like teams are going millions over the cap, right? Like, sure. Even like 85,000, that's like a bit over minimum. Like, I don't know what the minimum league contract is nowadays, but I think that's more than that, but probably not a ton over that. So we're talking like a player and a half that teams are going over this soft cap here. And if there's no hard penalty on it, you do whatever puts you in the best position to succeed, right? Like, If spending $50,000 over the cap is enough to help propel my team to host a home playoff game, am I not potentially making more than that by the revenue of that home playoff game?
Exactly. No, that's the thing. So, I mean, if you think really, but again, is $50,000 really the key that's going to pull you over, or is it $100,000 even up to $99,000 or whatever? You might get one more depth player. I mean, okay. But I mean, I think the league minimum is somewhere around $60,000-$65,000. So yeah, you could sign another for draft pick for the year, let him sit on the practice roster, I suppose. I mean, other than that, really, I don't like, I mean, it's not going to gain you much on that. It's the team build up before all that really matters. And it's your depth and all that before. So, and most of that you should have under the cap or know what you're dealing with the cap on that. If you're going way over the cap and you don't really care about draft picks, well, that's a whole different ball of wax, I think.
That would be a really interesting strategy to see, though. Look at the Bombers. They didn't win the Grey Cup for 29 years. You know, eventually, do you get desperate? Nothing's worked so far. Do you go way over the cap, stack the team? You know, we're going to make the run. We're in win now mode. And I don't think anybody's going to do that. And I wonder if they would crack down on it eventually if a team tried to. Also, you're probably just based on, you know, standard CFL contracts. You're not going to get in a position where you're going to go that far over the cap, but.
Well, I would think CFL would just disapprove trades after a while if you're so far over the cap, right? I mean, I don't know if that's in the CBA or not, but I'm just thinking, like, let's say Saskatchewan is $280,000 over the cap already, and they're trying to trade in for Willie Jefferson and Zach Collaros, some of Winnipeg's biggest contracts, and they're giving them nothing back to go and balance it roughly. I think if I was CFL commissioner, I'd say, you know, come on, you got to have your cap a little bit closer.
Yeah, but you see, if it's Saskatchewan, you have an easy solution. You just throw a bunch of guys on the pre-practice squad and you're good.
Absolutely, but that's Chris Jones' theory. So that's Edmonton's now. we don't get that theory anymore. We're not allowed to do that. So Edmonton, though, I hear they got a new pre-practice roster, so should be good.
Perfect. I think we're in agreement that, like, yeah, it's not going to be groundbreaking, the difference in the amount teams are going over the cap. But and so maybe there's not planning to go over it. But if you're in a position, whether it's due to injuries or something else, where you're like, we need to bring somebody in, oh, but we can't go and bring this guy in because that's going to put us a bit over the cap. Like, don't do that. Like, who cares about going over the cap if it means your team's going to be successful?
Yeah, you take exactly. The fine,
you'll make more money in the long run. You get success this year. Boom, you get a home playoff game. Maybe that leads to attracting more free agents next year. That brings you more success for years to come, right? Like spending $30,000 over the cap to potentially go on a run for a couple of years. Easy choice there. No doubt about it.
Absolutely. And I mean, mainly this spring always gets brought up every spring so that us diehard fans can go and shame the Winnipeg Blue Bombers into saying, look, you should give back your West Division trophy because you guys are cheaters and you went over the cap and oh no, shame, shame.
I'm surprised it was only $25,000, to be honest.
I thought Winnipeg would have been one of the worst.
After they signed Kenny Lawler last offseason, everybody was, lots of complaints about it, so.
And then they brought Schoen back, and they bring everybody else. Well, that's 24, I guess. But, everybody looked at it and was like, Winnipeg, how are they doing this? And, well, I guess there's your answer. But, I mean, honestly, $30,000 over, and that's it? It's a pretty good deal.
And if the league starts cracking down on it, there's always the good old Cavis Reed method. Cash in the envelope.
Oh, yeah. You never know. There might be now just maybe teams making bets on other things.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, let's get to our CFL draft preview here, Adam. Once again, like we said at the top of the show, not huge draft experts. I feel like you, correct me if I'm wrong, do you kind of keep tabs on any of the U Sports stuff, a little college football?
I kind of keep track of the scores, kind of. If I hear a player's name, sometimes I'll pick it out. Again, sometimes in Yorkton, small town. So you do get to see once in a while a player and kind of recognize somebody that's been the that should maybe be ending up for some time in a draft. But overall, not as much as I really should. But kind of needs and wants is mostly what I know on this kind of for the teams that are in the CFL. So
yeah, that's the same boat I'm in as well. Just not enough time to consume all of that content. I find it hard to find the content out there on CFL draft prospects. I wish we could be a source that provides more in depth on that. But I struggle to find the information myself unless you start going and watching the videos out there, of the combine and their performance and their highlights and things like that, and dissecting those yourselves. I will shout out a couple of folks who do great coverage when it comes to CFL draft stuff. I believe it's Canadian Football Perspective. Connor O'Neill was with us on the Big Free Agent Frenzy show talking a little bit about the draft. I know him and the guys there do a lot of draft coverage, really in-depth player interviews, things like that. So check all of their stuff out. I saw the fellows over at the X's and Argos podcast, I think, just got back together to do their Argos draft preview this very week. And I know Ben and his crew there are very in-depth on knowledge on things like that as well. And then kind of what we'll be leaning on a little bit here as Trey's back. We got Trey back in. What we'll be leaning on a little bit here as we look at some of the draft stuff is some of the mock drafts out there. So Marshall Ferguson on CFL.ca did a first mock draft back in the first week of April and then just published a second one today. So you can find those on the CFL website. And John Hodge from Three Down Nation did one back in March and one at the beginning of April as well on freedownnation.com. So go check those out for more in-depth on the prospects as we go through and talk through things. Trey, you're back. Everything's all good?
Oh, the little shit just needed me to yell at him before he went to bed, apparently. So that's all. He got a good dad yelling to go to bed, and then he passed right out. So, you know.
All right.
Go to sleep. Oh, Papa Bear doesn't have it. Takes no shit after 9:30, man. So it's bedtime, man. And then he's going to be a grump in
Saskatchewan.
Well, you know, then he can go live with you for a bit, man. I don't care.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Bad suggestion, man. Bad suggestion.
Oh, man.
Also, I was going to bring up one other thing. There is a media advisory as well out for the CFL. Dwayne Ford, of course, he knows lots about the CFL and CFL draft lots of times. And Marshall Ferguson will be doing a draft preview tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time. It'll be over. I'll put it in our Discord channel if anybody actually wants to go and just check it out. They got a link there. So, hey, why not go check out what they think of the draft as well?
And hopefully it really hits home that we know what we're talking about as we try to fumble our way through draft talk. All right, CFL draft, Tuesday, April 30th, the Edmonton Elks are on the clock with the first overall pick. First round draft order has Edmonton, Ottawa, Saskatchewan, Calgary, Toronto got the pick from Hamilton. I forget what trade that was involved in. BC's at number six. Hamilton gets the seventh. Was that the Jordan Williams trade? That might have been. So Toronto and Hamilton swap spots. Winnipeg at eight, Montreal at nine. We're going to go team by team here, I think, and talk a little bit about each of them. We'll start off with the Edmonton Elks, who are at first overall. Chris Jones, always a wild card. You never know what he's going to do. The Elks have the first overall pick. They pick 10th overall in round two. They have two second round picks from a trade with Montreal, picking the third round. Back-to-back picks in the fourth, nothing in the fifth, nothing in the sixth, and then two picks in the seventh and one in the eighth. So a little all over the place there for the Elks. But they are at number one on the board to start off the draft. Adam, any thoughts on what you think the Elks draft day should look like?
Well, first things first, Chris Jones will wake up. He's going to go and he's going to watch a bunch of films on athletes. He's going to go watch some track and field. He's going to go watch some, what do you call, weightlifting, and he's going to go and just pick somebody that can do everything like that, I think, because that's how Chris Jones usually works. However, he's got G-Roy Simon beside him, and G-Roy was a great receiver back in the day. And you know what? Because the Edmonton Elks brought in a Canadian receiver this year in Curley Gittens Jr., I am going to say that they will be bringing in a receiver this year, probably to just, if nothing else, for depth, a Canadian receiver that they know that they can probably get right away. There is a receiver, I believe, out of Auburn that I would say is probably the right pick for them. Nick Mardiner, I think it is. I can't remember pronounce last names right, so I apologize in advance. Once you're in the CFL, we'll get it right for you. Nevertheless, I think he'll be a good receiver. Again, University of Auburn usually produces some pretty good receiving core players. I mean, they have a good quarterback system that usually end up being defensive backs. So maybe Chris Jones will go that way because the guy can play two positions. But I think I'll go with, that they'll go after a receiver in this draft. Mainly because I don't think they really have the depth in Canadian receiver like some other teams do in the CFL West. So if you look at their depth chart, like I said, I don't see very much Canadian receivers. So we'll go with that. I'll say Canadian receiver.
Trey?
I'll go a different route here with Edmonton as they just got that trade in for a Canadian receiver. Maybe they'll go a little bit different route. And Chris Jones being a defensive guy, maybe going defense. A couple people have pegged linebacker Joel DuBlanco from Cincinnati going first. You know, could be a thought there for the defensive-minded Chris Jones. Why is the name escaping me right now of the receiver? Did they get the guy from Toronto?
Gittens,
the name just escaped me for a second there. Yeah, so I don't know if they, you know, always, you can never have too much Canadian depth, I guess, especially on the offensive side, but maybe they'll go a different way. Ryan?
Yeah, just comparing these mock drafts we were talking about, I think originally they were kind of in line with what Adam was talking about, leading receiver for the Elks, but now it looks like both of them are leaning towards a linebacker. And I kind of get that with what you said, Chris Jones being that defensive minded guy, stacking some of that depth at linebacker. Looking back to last year's draft, the Elks went back to back at the linebacker position, round one with Michael Broderick at second overall, and then round two with Jacob Taylor at 18th overall, both still on the roster as of now. So I could see the Elks going that position again. I don't know how strong the offensive line core in this draft is. It's kind of interesting looking at some of the mock drafts that, you know, in years past, it's like round one, nine teams picking. Okay, it's like seven offensive linemen. A lot more diversity across the board in positions here now. So I think offensive line is the biggest need for the Elks. And so I'd like to see them in round two potentially go and take an offensive lineman perhaps. But I think you got to take the best player, best athlete available, and that whether that's a linebacker or a receiver. I think they're both needs that could be filled for this team. So I guess my answer is I agree with both of you guys on your takes on Edmonton there. Any chance you're trading the first overall pick? Quick answers.
I mean, Edmonton's done it before, and last time they did it, Tyrell Richards became a Montreal Alouette. So, I don't know. If I was Edmonton, I wouldn't.
I don't see much stock in it. I know that the Canadian draft picks get thrown around a lot in the CFL. I just don't understand the stock in it, because there's very rarely a guy in the top three or four that, you know, like super stick around. You know what I mean? It happens time to time, but you know, can you name the last few first overall draft picks in the CFL draft? So, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
After the big success of ChatGPT joining us on the show last week to talk about game themes, I tried to get ChatGPT to rank for me how teams have drafted over the last 20 years and what their biggest hits and misses were. It got so confused by whatever I was asking it that it started spitting out a bunch of false information. So we can't go that route, unfortunately, for looking at the top CFL draft picks from the past couple of years. But I agree with you guys. I think you keep it if you're Edmonton. Ottawa is number two on the board. They've been in the bottom of the league for the last couple of years. Mock drafts seem to, the most recent ones seem to all be honing in on wide receiver for Ottawa. Both Ferguson and Hodge having from Laval, Kevin Mattel going to the Red Blacks. And I think that is absolutely where I would go if I was Ottawa, to wide receiver. You just had Nate Behar that you got rid of. There is like no Canadian wide receiver depth in Ottawa right now. I think Keaton Brugling is probably slated to be the starter to fill that typical Canadian receiver role. And he was backup pretty much all season last year. So I think you got to go receiver if you're Ottawa in this draft. Do you guys see it any other way, Trey?
No, I think receiver for them, like kind of like the same reasons that you said. It, uncertain quarterback, you know, you're going to need, especially with uncertainty at quarterback, maybe you'll want more American offensive linemen. Maybe you'll want more American defense. So you'll have to fit them in somewhere and get some Canadian in your receiving core, Adam.
Quickly before you go, Adam, I forgot to mention Ottawa has a pick in every round except round five. And they've got the second pick in each round, it looks like. So.
Okay. No, I think you go with Kevin Mattel. The only issue you got with him is the off-field kind of antics. He had a little bit of an issue off-field. He had an assault charge on him, so been pretty open about it, though. Seemed to be pretty good about it. And the on-field performance is all there. And, Laval has been a very good team, and he's been a very good receiver for him for the last few years. So, yeah, I think you go receiver. Same reason as you said for Edmonton. Depth-wise, you just can't have enough skilled wide receivers. And then I think we'll be talking about skilled wide receivers in about probably 45 to 50 seconds.
Well, I'll drag this out a little bit before then. So just get your timing off. Hope you didn't bet on that. Don't bet on our podcast, Adam. While you're on the show, that could lead to problems.
I wonder if Sean Lemon bet on the farm. Maybe that was the issue.
Oh, yeah. Bet the ant farms. You know, Ottawa, historically, year after year, Ottawa is going offensive line early in the draft. And I remember last year, they had the first overall pick. They went with Dante Bull, which was a surprise to me because I think the year before they went back-to-back offensive linemen. I feel like the year before that they did as well. I don't know if this is a team that needs to focus on the offensive line in the draft anymore, though, right? They brought in Drew Desjarlais a couple of years ago. Who are some of the other big names? Darius Bladak was a huge addition this offseason in the offensive line. They're quickly building, I think, a pretty solid team there on the O-line this year, combined with some of those draft picks that they've had from years past. So don't see that necessarily being a big focus for Ottawa. I think we're kind of on board with them going a wide receiver. At number three on the board is the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They've got the third overall pick. They got a pick in round two, round three, as I scroll through the list. I think they've just got a pick in every round. Yeah, they're boring. They didn't trade anything yet. Adam, you're the guy in Saskatchewan. You know the best more than us, presumably. What are folks saying out in the fields?
Well, out in the fields are saying that it's kind of getting dry and that we should probably get a good rain before we start. No, wait. They're looking at two things, I think. If I was the general manager, if I was Jeremy O'Day of the Rough Riders right now, there's two things that I should really look at. And I mean, I've preached this one first thing for, 4 years now or since I've ever been on the podcast. They still need some O-line depth in Canadian. If there's a very good top talent O-lineman that could play and is almost CFL ready, it's time for him to come out. They don't need development O-linemen. They've done this over the years. They've had Zach Fry. They've had Logan Ferland. He's developed into a good offensive lineman. There's other guys out there, though, that they've had bad luck developing. And you look at Josiah St. John. That's not where they need to go in this draft. They need a guy that can play right away because the Riders are a team that's actually kind of intriguing. And they've got a good running back. They need some help for him, I think. And if they can get some guy that can really start right away and can be within game six or game seven, right up to speed and ready to go, I think that's where they need to go now. No development this time for them. But O-line is important for them. The other side of the football also is important. The D-line, I think they need to look at finding some defensive linemen, defensive backs, maybe a little bit, but more defensive linemen for the in the Canadian position. They don't have a whole lot of depth in there as well. I think either side of the football on the trenches is where the Riders really got to look. But please don't take another wide receiver, Jeremy. I know it's tempting, but please don't.
Yeah, I look at it, the position that Ikeon on for the Riders is actually, I think, one of the only ones you didn't talk about there, which is a linebacker position. Because you go back a couple of years ago, we were talking about the Riders at linebacker with names like, well, Cam Judge was there at some point, right? Yeah, Cam Judge was with the Riders. You had Larry Dean there. You had Micah Tights. We had all the Darnell Sankey was a part of the Riders, I think, there for a minute. We had all these pieces at linebacker and thought this team was stacked. Kind of all those pieces have gone away there a little bit. And their Canadian depth at linebacker, I think, is lacking a little bit now. I know they just brought in both the Herdman Reed brothers, but I think they bounced around the league for a long time. So, you know, I feel like they're getting up there in terms of their careers a little bit. I think that's a position I would like to maybe see them invest in a little bit more. I think they've got some good young Canadian talent at defensive back, but I know that's a position they want to improve in. And I mean, offensive line, it never hurts to improve.
The one thing I'll say, though, to justify the non-linebacker pick, or why I didn't say linebacker, they have got a lot of American linebackers lined up this year. I'm sure those positions are going to go American. They're going to try to put somebody else in the D-line as a Canadian, and that's where it gets a little bit scary, I think, for the Rough Riders if they do that. The Herdman Reeds are going to rotate in. They're more special teams players. You got Jameer Thurman on the one side. He's pretty much your bona fide number one starting linebacker on one side. The other two spots, though, I think are going to get filled probably by American. And they brought in some really good guys in there, including one name that really looked out that I think the Riders and fans have been looking forward to. It's Diego Fajot. Yeah, I want to see somebody say that really fast and mess it up. So, yeah. Should be an interesting battle for who makes it in the American spot for the linebacker, but there will be an American, I think, for the Riders as a linebacker. Trey, you going to go try to say that name real fast?
No, I'm okay. But, no, I kind of lean more towards what Adam says and go with the offensive line, looking at a guy real quick that slotted in a couple mock drafts. How do you feel about a 6'6", 337-pound offensive lineman from BC who plays rugby and hockey? You know, grew up in New Zealand and played rugby in the schoolyard and then came back to Canada to play hockey. That's the kind of guy I think you want on your offensive line to make holes for Ouellette and give hopefully Trevor Harris some time throwing there. So I think Saskatchewan should go with the, I agree with the offensive line.
Well, the next team up on the board is the Calgary Stampeders at number four. They've got the fourth overall pick after an unusual down year for the Stamps. They pick again at 13 and 14 in the second round due to a trade with Hamilton. I think that might be part of the Bo Levi Mitchell trade, honestly, for his contract there. Nothing in the third round, one in the fourth, one in the fifth, one in the sixth, one in the seventh, one in the eighth. So a couple of back-to-back picks there, though, in round number two for Calgary. Three picks in the top 14 for them to stack up some depth here. I think this is a team that looks at the offensive line just like you guys were just talking about. To me personally, I think the Stamps, gone are the years with Bo Levi Mitchell as the cream of the crop at quarterback and his stellar offensive line in Calgary, which is crazy to talk about because wasn't it just like 2 years ago that they gave up like 17 sacks on a season or something like that? But they've lost a lot of their pieces, guys like Justin Lawrence, Ryan Sevier, you know, that have been mainstays out there on the offensive line. Have moved over to different teams. They did bring in Trevon Tate, who was a big part of that Argos O-line this past season. But I think that's a spot where if I'm Calgary, I'm looking to get some more offensive line depth there for my team. Any thoughts on Calgary here for you guys, Trey?
Well, I mean, this isn't Curtis Rourke's draft year, is it? Because they'd sure need a quarterback. But other than that, I guess offensive line. I don't know. I think Calgary is one of those teams that they need a lot of duct tape and Gorilla Glue. And I think the Canadian draft isn't exactly going to fix everything that they got going wrong. So best play, but where's the best place to start when you're one of those teams that need to fix everything? Probably the offensive line, Adam.
Yeah, I think for them, it has been the offensive line for a little while. Seems like they can run the football okay, but that was about it last year that we've seen. It did not look good for most of the season for Jake Mayer, just because I think felt like he was under pressure all the time. Their offensive line, again, lost some pieces during the free agency this year. I think that they need to rebuild that. They haven't really had a dominating center in Calgary for a very long time, maybe since the gentleman from Weyburn, Brett Jones, has been there, essentially. I'd like to see him get a really good center in the offensive line. Right now, some of the mock drafts had down Kyle Hurdle, I think is the name. He isn't a center, but you know what? He might just fill in and be a pretty good guy. Played in Boston College. He's played some good professional football. College football, I should say. I think that's probably where you got to go, Trey, right, his offensive line, and start building that up again in Calgary.
And I think for the other, they've got, again, those two picks in the second round. I think the defensive line's another spot that, just looking at the roster here isn't screaming a ton of depth on the defensive line in terms of Canadians there. No huge names, mainstay names on that crew there. I think other defensive positions. One spot, much like the Riders, I definitely don't think they should look towards with those first three picks is at wide receiver, because this team's got a lot of Canadian wide receivers with potential talent. They really invested in that spot last year in the draft with Clark Barnes, Cole Tucker in that draft. They've got Jalen Philpott. I haven't heard really on his injury. I'm hoping we see him back this year because he was exciting to watch. So they've got some of that Canadian receiver talent and maybe some of the best depth in the league if those guys develop into the types of players they were hoping for when they picked them for the Stamps. Number five on the draft board is the Toronto Argonauts, who did make that trade with Hamilton to move up to number five. Interestingly, no picks in the second round, but three picks almost back to back to back in round three, 24, 25, and 27. So the Argos are going to have a chance in the third round to go on a bit of a run there and really scoop up whoever they want on the that's left on the board at that point. Nothing in round four, two in round five, two in round six, nothing in seven, and one in eight. So the Argos are a bit, they're not boring. At least they've done some wheeling and dealing here. Is it hard to figure out what the Argos should do given the question marks around the team right now? Or do you think that impacts things at all, Trey?
I'm going to say no, because it doesn't seem like there's a top tiered quarterback, and that's kind of the biggest question mark they might have. Other than that, I think it's going to be business as usual, regardless if it's Kelly or Cameron Dukes, right? The other positions, they lost the running back. Again, I don't see them going out and getting a Canadian one right now. But I think they have to shore up that defense a little bit, and that's somewhere I would definitely look at them.
Yeah, I would almost say receiver, just because they did lose a big piece in Gurley Gittens Jr. My opinion is, if you're the Toronto Argonauts, you got a few holes to fill. Take the best player available, unless you know he's getting a full shot at the NFL and he's going to get drafted, and he does get drafted in the NFL. Otherwise, take the best player available at this point. You got other picks. You got lots of picks later on. You can do some strategizing, picking other players. By the time you get to the sixth or seventh player selected in the CFL draft, sometimes it's a matter of just who's the best athlete. As much as it sounds crazy, I think Toronto's needs, again, are linebacker. I think they need some wide receiver. I think they need some other players. I think that, like I said, they could use some offensive line that got picked apart a little bit. I think they need some players, just plain and simple. So whoever's the best player, sign them up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, they're a team that has pretty good depth, and they did lose some of that this offseason, and we knew they were going to, and I think that's why you guys mentioned the defensive side of the ball there, right, is that's where they got hurt the most, so I totally get that. At wide receiver, you touched on it a little bit there. The interesting thing for me with receiver is Toronto's a team that's going to start two Canadians, presumably, right? They did last year, at least, a lot of the times at wide receiver. They've got some pretty good depth of their own there. Deshaun Brissett was a mainstay starter. Tommy Neal showed some good moments last year. David Unger, the third, kind of had a little bit of a breakout here and there. And they brought in Richie Sindani late in the season, who made a bit of an impact. They've got four solid Canadian receivers already. What happens when those guys goes down, if you're banking on that, you know, those being some of your Canadian slots? So maybe you pick a receiver at that position. Shane Ryan, in the X chat. I didn't know comments from X came into here. This is the first time that's gotten working. Look at Elon doing something over there, I guess, to make that work. We've never had that before. I thought they were disabled previously, but that's awesome. Saying Luke Brobacker at number five for the Argos. You guys know anything about Luke Brobacker? Defensive lineman out of Wilfrid Laurier, it looks like.
Yeah, 6'6", 255 pounds. Had, I think, 13 sacks last season, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just take a look once more. 6 sacks, actually, last season. 13 tackles, 12 were solos. Looks like some pretty fair stats, I think. Definitely got the size to be a pretty good CFL player. Be interesting to see how he does in the draft. I think he probably is second round pick somewhere there. Just depending on if teams pick for need or pick for athlete. If they're picking athlete, yeah, Luke Brobacher might not be a bad one.
I was just looking at the player heights on the Argos defensive line. Do you know Sean Oakman is 6'9"? Holy jeez.
Wow. I did not realize he was 6'9".
There aren't many players that, if we're standing at the same like ground level, I would have to look up to. But yeah, that going straight up.
Yeah, I'd be looking pretty much straight up and probably seeing mostly his hips.
I have no idea how tall you are, Adam. We've never met in person. I don't even know if you have legs. So,
yeah, fair enough. I'm
cool. Oh wait, no, we had Adam on the couch for the podcast. We've seen Adam's legs.
Yeah, they can confirm they do exist.
Yeah. I what, 5'10", Adam? 5'8", 5'9", somewhere in there.
5'10".
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the shortest in the podcast. I'm the oldest in the podcast. It's
I don't think Mike's 5'10". Maybe he is.
Yeah, you're probably similar.
Me and Mike probably pretty close.
Trey and I are pretty similar in height as well.
Yeah, I know Trey was a little taller than I was.
Oh. I'm still growing, eating my veggies, boys.
It's good for you.
Can I help you? Can I help you? Sorry, the wife was out here when I said something stupid, like always.
All right. Anything else on the Argos, or should we move on to number 6? Interestingly, the Argos, I feel like, are just, I guess, one last thought is the Argos are a team that I feel like are one of those teams that's more likely to take a shot at like an NFL name at some point that's going to, you know, probably not come to the CFL, but if he does, that's going to be a big name talent. 3 picks in, what was it, the second round or the third round there. 3 picks so close together in the third round is a perfect opportunity, in my opinion, for a team with a lot of depth to take a shot or two at a big name, because you could probably afford, if they're not coming to play for you this year or next year potentially, but if you land it, obviously that's going to be a big play. So the Argos are my current leading favorite to be a team to take a chance on something like that. Where's my tab with the draft order? There it is. It's the BC Lions up next at number 6 on the draft board. The Lions pick at 6, 15, 19, so 2 picks in the second round, 1 in the third, nothing in the fourth, 1 in the fifth, 1 in the sixth, 1 in the 7th, and 1 in the 8th there for the BC Lions. Oh, so close the last 2 years. The Lions did the Lions were, I should say, to get into the Grey Cup. Strong seasons, but couldn't get past Winnipeg there. They are one of the two teams, the other being Winnipeg, that get a bonus pick in the second round for having an extra, the most snaps played by Canadians this season. So I think that's flawed. I think that's a flawed process that the team who presumably has the best Canadian depth now gets an extra Canadian draft pick. Conveniently, going back to our previous discussion, also the team that went $85,000 over the cap and maybe, you know, brought in an extra Canadian to play, but
it wasn't the Bombers.
I know, but I still I missed out on that part of the conversation because I wanted to.
We were very much in tune with what you've been saying all along, that this is it's a soft cap and you should go over it, but. I did see some talk about, if you can go over it, and then and you're getting rewarded a draft pick for the most Canadian snaps, that maybe that's like the one thing that's a question mark to me is the whole draft pick system, which I
think
is flawed to begin
fair.
With.
That's fair.
But what do you guys think about BC, Adam?
I think that they probably, again... By this point, you take athlete, but if you can, if your BC does have any need, it's maybe on the defensive secondary a little bit. They probably could use another defender out there that can get somebody going. Other than that, there's really not much that the BC Lions are really in desperate need of in Canadian that I can see. But to me, like I said, it depends what's available and what's all open. If there's somebody that's kind of been dropping for some reason and now all of a sudden he's available, may as well take him. Or, like I said, defensive back might be not a bad option. Trey, what do you think?
No, I kind of agree. Take the best man up. Kind of thing there. Maybe, again, do you go offensive line? Because they do kind of have a heavy Canadian line, and I guess you need depth for that, right? They have Suk Chung, a couple other names I'm blanking on right now. But, you know, maybe that.
Couture.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So when you have a bunch of Canadian depth, that old line, you kind of need the Canadian starters, you need the depth. But other than that, yeah, best man up. I don't know what else. Because, like, that team's one step away, right? Like, they didn't really lose a ton, but they also, you know, they lost a receiver. But, again, a Canadian draft's not going to replace my mind's all over the place today. What's the name of the receiver that they just lost?
To injury?
No, to Ottawa. Well, they lost Hatcher to injury, and then someone go to Ottawa.
Dominic Rimes.
Dominic Rimes, again, but the Canadian draft isn't going to exactly overly help with that, but yeah, we'll see.
But you do look at the Canadian draft, and similarly to what we just said with Toronto, and, I mean, there's not a ton of positions, if you think about it, to talk about here, where we're probably saying, like, offensive line receiver or take something on defense for, like, all of these teams. But BC was able to get rid of Rimes and let Whitehead go, and suffer the loss of Hatcher for most of the season because of some of their strong Canadians at receiver, including Justin McInnes and, Javon Katoy, who I think are both going to have starting roles. So maybe you need a little bit more depth behind those guys there. Offensive line, those two guys you mentioned, Chung and Couture, are also both in their 30s. And I would say that's their premium offensive line nationals on this team. So how many years do they have left in the tank at that position still? I would agree that offensive line would be a potential spot for me for BC, especially if there's a guy that can maybe come in and slot in right away and be a depth piece and make the team this year. Because you've got as good of a shot as anybody to have a run at things this year if you can keep VA upright. Right? Like, he is, I had him as my top quarterback coming into this year. I think Adam might have as well, Vernon Adams. So do what you can to keep the guy healthy, right? If we're talking about planning for this year alone, different teams are in more of a need to have their draft picks land this year, of course, for sure, than others. Any other thoughts on the BC Lions here, going once, going twice? If not, we'll move on to the Hamilton Tiger Cats picking at number 7 after their trade with Toronto, again at 16 in the second round. Nothing in the third, but 2 picks in the fourth. And then they've got 1 pick in each round the rest of the way there for the Ticats, a team that I feel like is in a bit of a changing of the guard era. The Simone Lawrence retiring on the linebacker. Did Ted Laurent also retire on the defensive line? Let me double check on that.
Well, they lost some old linemen. They lost Chris and Van Zyl, but I don't know if they lost Ted Laurent.
I think they did. I don't see him on the roster currently, whether it was let him go or he retired. So you mentioned Chris Van Zyl. So this has been an older team for years that is now losing a lot of those pieces. So I think this is one of the teams where draft is kind of maybe a little bit crucial. I don't know how much success they've had with the draft over the years, right? Like, especially those years where they had the first overall pick. I still remember the Mark Chapman pick as number one wide receiver who didn't pan out in the CFL. They've probably, to their credit, had more good picks since then. I don't have all of their draft picks memorized off the top of my head, but Hamilton, I feel like they need a good draft this year. So where do you put the focus if you're the Ticats here, Adam?
I look at their offense. It's probably their biggest concern, and I still think they got a lot of concern in Canadian receivers, to be honest with you. I look at the depth. It's not really there. I mean, you've got the one guy that came originally from Calgary. Sorry, I can't remember names right off the top of my head.
Luther Hakunavanu.
No, they got Luther Hakunavanu, but they also had a different guy I was thinking of as well. That was there for a year or two. He was over to Hamilton already from last year, and he was expected to do some pretty big things. He got injured right away, and he's always been injured quite a bit. So,
Richie Sandani?
No, there's somebody else. I'll go look up the name right now while I'm talking to you guys. But I think they really could use some more depth in Canadian wide receiver. And so, yeah, it depends who's available, but there's got to be a good wide receiver available. You might even want to look from a guy from the University of Regina. Stephen Mims, I believe his name is. You know, he kind of has a touch of history with both the Riders and the Bombers. His dad did anyways. So I think, yeah, might not be a bad idea to bring Mims into Hamilton. Trey, what do you think?
No, I kind of agree the offensive side is kind of the way you want to go. I see what Ryan's saying with the defense, though, as well. Yeah, again, Hamilton's this team that I don't think the Canadian draft is going to be enough of duct tape to put on the broken pipe right now, but I guess you have to start somewhere. See, when you start getting to this point of the draft, where are we at, like, seven? I don't know, man. Like, in the Canadian draft, again, no disrespect to these guys, you kind of start getting to the point where 5 to 20 might be kind of interchangeable on teams' needs sometimes. So, I mean, if one of those top receivers that we were talking about, Mardner or a couple other guys, fall down this far, you know, that might be something for Hamilton to look at. And again, you might just have to take the best guy available, because I don't know if they really want to – do they want to go pick a receiver, you know, who's slotted to go second round just to make sure you get him, or do you take the best player available, right? So I would go that route.
Yeah, depends who's available. It was Deshaun Mims as well, not Steven Mims. So my apologies.
Did you figure out who that former Calgary receiver was yet?
Not yet. Give me 1 second here.
All right, keep looking at him.
Yeah, no, I just honestly, I was running around listening over to Trey, so.
I got to go defense, though, for Hamilton still, because of all those pieces they lost. I mean, Simone Lawrence, Jameer Thurman, another huge loss at the linebacker position, at defensive back. You know, you had, like, Tunde Adeleke, Chris Edwards among the crew there that they've lost this year. Dylan Wynn, Malik Kearney on the defensive line, Ted Laurent as well. So they've lost some, you know, some solid pieces on the defensive side of the ball. And if I look at that linebacker depth for the Ticats right now, I think they look a little thin at linebacker, and also they're very heavily Canadian at the linebacker position. So, you know, if you have a game breaker available here at 7, potentially, do you go that route? If you know you're going to be playing Canadians there, you want more depth there if you're Hamilton, but they do have some depth there already. I like the defensive side of the ball a little more if I'm them. I like their Canadian receiver depth that they have right now. Keandre Smith, Tyler Tarnowski, you know, are the mainstays from last year. And now they bring in Brendan O'Leary, orange over from the Bombers, big fan of his, hoping he gets a regular role in that offense. And Luther Hakunavanu over from Calgary there. So I like what they brought in for Canadian receiver depth. I think they might need more receiver depth in general. So maybe that's worth taking a receiver here. But I think my focus is on out with the old, or the, I guess, out with the old, in with the new on the defensive side of the ball for the new era of the Hamilton Tiger Cats here. Anything else on Hamilton? You find the name? If not, we're moving on and it'll be lost forever.
Let me look one more second here.
If you go on once, go on twice. If you think about it later, you're never allowed to mention it again. No, I'm just kidding. Let us know.
Ouch.
You
I'm just.
You missed your window. You missed your window.
I know. I'm terrible at this. Receivers. Where am I looking here?
I don't know. I honestly don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I gotta look here. In the one game injured list, was he in the 6-game injured list?
There's not a receiver on Hamilton besides Luther Hakunavanu that I know of that previously played for Calgary. So,
yeah, there's a name that I'm thinking of that I just cannot remember for the life of me.
All right.
I will go to the 2022 season. I have to.
It's going to come out during Beyond the Countdown later on. Just wait.
Absolutely. So you got to follow the Beyond the Countdown. Just see the name.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Winnipeg, number 8 on the draft board. They've got... They're the other team other than BC that gets that bonus pick at the end of round 2. They had the most snaps. I guess the second most, because BC probably got the higher pick. BC has the earlier pick, so I guess they had the most. But Winnipeg's got 2 picks in round 2, 2 again in round 5, and they've got a pick in every other round here for Winnipeg so far. Trey, as soon as you're, I'll give you a second there. What are you thinking on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers here? I think I know what direction you're probably going, but let's see if I'm right.
Sorry, guys, I'm just crushing some spicy junior chickens from McDonald's, man. That's what the wife brought over to me. Those are so good on the remix menu, man. Worst commercial I've ever seen. Best food so far. The chicken cheeseburger. My kid had it. That was disgusting. That was the most – I never had a bite, but the most – it's a burger and a piece of chicken on a cheeseburger. Most disgusting thing I can get.
I tried the fish and the chicken – or the cheeseburger. Yep. That was weird.
Oh, but the spicy –
But the sweet chili one? Oh, that's crazy.
I can eat 20 of those, man. Yeah, this is for the after hours, I guess. But, well, now I got to know. I got to think. I got to come up with something different that Ryan thinks I'm doing or what. But
no, I
got to go with the offensive line because it is just so brutal. And, again, I don't think you're going to fix the Swiss cheese defense of Winnipeg in the Canadian draft. So I got to go with the offensive line. They lost a couple key pieces. They've lost an age. They're getting up there in age, too, with we kept Bryant, right? Hardrick went to Saskatchewan, right? So, you know, Bryant's getting up there in age. You got to go offensive line. If anything, like I said, you need, if not offensive line, you need a top-tier Canadian defense so we're not giving up those stupid, you know, 40-yard plays to lose a Grey Cup, right? That's my bottom line. Ryan, how good do you know me?
Yeah, there was no doubt in my mind you were going to the offensive line there. I know you've harped on it a lot as your biggest concern about this team. So that makes
not sense. In the Swiss cheese defense. Like, that's all it is, man. And but you know what? Maybe the new turf that they installed today, maybe it'll help. Who knows? You'd be like, right. It'll be like MetLife Field. It just gives every player injuries.
Oh God. Or the Calgary Stampeders or McMahon Stadium, which has had its own fair share. I'm in agreement with you. The Bombers seem to like going to the offensive line and have some success on the offensive line draft. So, don't think they need to pick a running back. I'll say that.
I'm going to just argue with you guys and go on the other side of the trenches. I'm going to go with defensive line. Willie Jefferson's getting older. Jeffcoat retired. I think he's still got a little bit of depth in the D-line. But I think that they could use a good Canadian in there. And there is one really good one that I can see that nobody's talked about yet. And he kind of, I don't know why he's lost his draft stock so much. Daniel Okpoko, San Diego State player. But here's the kicker. He's from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So, you know, all the good players come out of Saskatchewan at one time. So Winnipeg could use him, and I know how much they love their Saskatchewan players out in Winnipeg, especially Saskatoon ones like Patrick Neufeld.
Hey, it's worked out for them. I know that's a good point on the defensive line because the mainstay, token Canadian filling on the defensive line for the past, 10, 12 years now has been Jake Thomas, who's back again for another year. But how many more one-year contracts is Jake Thomas going to play with the Bombers, right? I think it was last year or the year before they did bring in Anthony. They drafted Anthony Bennett at that position. Maybe he gets more of a role. Cam Lawson we saw at times last year. But, yeah, the Canadian talent on the defensive line is thin, and they do have a bit of an overhaul at that position this year. I like that.
This is international, but with the Hansen, was he D-line too? Because he's gone. Yeah, so that even in general, that's, you know, another big missing point there too. When's the international draft? Do we still have that?
That's like the day before. Oh, I think it happens at like 11 a.m. or something like that.
Okay. Wasn't sure if it was still a thing to be honest. So
I think it is. We'll look that up. Also lost Ricky Walker on the defensive line, who was a piece last year. And on the O-line, a piece we didn't mention was Jeff Gray, I don't think has re-signed with the team.
See, like, if I'm just going to say one more point on the Bombers, like, I, the one thing I think I can't, I'm not, I have, like, haven't lost faith in is that defensive line, because Jefferson and Big Hill, they might look slow some days, but then they come up the next, right? Like, it's very hard for me to think that they're like, yeah, sure, they need depth, but I would rather go O line or secondary before I go with that D line. But I don't know. I don't know. I saw Willie a couple weeks ago, man. He looks still pretty mean to me, man. So it's he's fine.
All I could say is Father Time is undefeated, no matter who it is. If it's Willie Jefferson, or Big Hill.
They got one loss against Tom Brady, man, because he's going to make a comeback this year, guaranteed. Guaranteed. I think he's going to go with the team he owns in Oakland, man, or Vegas.
Did you
man.
See the Netflix is doing the first ever, like, live, like, streaming service roast, and it's of Tom Brady?
The roasts are the best. If there's Jeff, it better be Jeff Ross, right? Like, he is the best. He only comes out of his cave once a year for the roast, and it's the best thing I've ever seen. But anyway, I'll watch that.
Yeah, that's going to be good. Global Draft is the same day, by the way. And I was right. It is at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Hit the nail on the head with that one. There we go.
Take the day off. Watch the whole draft of the CFL. You're the only guy probably to ever do that, unless you're actually a broadcaster.
Is it even on TV this year?
The draft in the evening is, again, like last year, I think they do the first two rounds on TV, and then it goes to, like, TSN.ca afterwards for rapid fire through the last round. I enjoyed watching that, actually, last year, and if I have time, I might watch it again. We'll see what the day looks like for myself. Last team to talk about here. Boy, it's going to be a long one if we're doing after hours yet. Montreal, the Montreal Alouettes, they won the Grey Cup, which means they are picking at 9th overall. No pick in the second round for them, but I think they have pick every other round. They pick last in every other round. What do you do to build up for the repeat here if you're the Montreal Alouettes, Trey?
I guess defense a little bit, because that's the kind of the pieces that they've missed. And you got to get a guy who doesn't know how to gamble on football for one. But yeah, I guess you'd go defense if I was them. They didn't really lose a lot anywhere other than a couple of one retirement. In all seriousness, retirement on defense, a big hole in Sean Lemon, regardless of the other stuff. And a couple, you know, I think I'd go defense. Maybe again, again, maybe this is one team where I'm like, maybe you go with the long shot pick if there is a guy, you know, that might get cut in September or next year. But, but maybe with it not having a second round pick, maybe you hold on to that as well. Adam?
Yeah, I look at this team, and I mean, they lost a little bit of wide receiver with Hergie Bayala moving on, but it wasn't a big loss for him, I don't think. Again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but this is the CFL draft. pick the best player available. Montreal has got a little bit of depth in most positions. I think they can get away. If any team can get away with it, it's the Alouettes. I agree with you, though, Trey, on defensive side of the football. Maybe they could probably use somebody that doesn't know how to count up to 22. That's gambling, not betting. Anyways, I think that, they could probably use a depth piece in defense. But if they get a depth receiver or they get something else or something they could build around, all good. As long as the guy's an athlete, he's going to be a guy that they can go towards the future with. Yeah, well, that's a big, good pick.
This team's got some real good Canadian talent on it. Like, I look at wide receiver Tyson Philpott. We're all projecting big season to come for him. Kion Julian Grant was having a real good year until he got injured last year. We saw a couple other guys mix in and out of the lineup there. Maybe they could use another depth piece if they want to get those two guys kind of regular pieces of the offense this year and see some depth at that position. They could be one of the few teams starting a Canadian running back this year with Jesh Renantui. So that might play into their ratio. They're heavily Canadian on the offensive line. They've got the depth on the defensive side as well. You talk about maybe bringing in Canadians on the defensive line. Well, they did in free agency. They took the two of them from Calgary, and Derek Wigan and Isaac Adeyemi Berglund, who are, two mainstays on that cap, or two big pieces of that Calgary D line, are both Canadian, and now they're in Montreal. And they've had some of those earlier draft picks, like the one we were talking about earlier with Tyrell Richards at the linebacker position. So, yeah. Montreal is a team that's only, they're going to get better from the draft by just getting more and more depth across the board. I don't think there's a certain spot I pinpoint for them that I think is exactly where this team needs to go. And that's where we're at with the Montreal Alouettes here. I'm looking at all these mock drafts, and you know what? I was looking in round two. I'm like, where's Montreal's pick? There we go. That's why. Looking at the mock drafts, seems to be defensive line, offensive line. I mean, any of these positions where you're starting a bunch of Canadians doesn't hurt to get that Canadian depth for these teams. So this is kind of what we see each of these teams doing on draft day on April 30th. Obviously, this is pretty generic, pretty high level, but hopefully gives some insight into some holes that we think might be there or where teams can build up some of this depth. And once again, make sure you go check out CFL.ca mock drafts from Marshall Ferguson and 3downnation.com mock drafts from John Hodge for more insight into some of the players available for these teams at these positions. Anything else CFL related here you guys want to mention? Anything draft, non-draft related?
Just quit bitching about the soft cap. That's it. That's my one thing. That's the one thing. I didn't get my 5 minutes to rant about that too. So LTIR and the soft cap, they're in the CBA. They're in the CBA. Get over it. You know what I mean? It's like if you're unhappy about something, go talk to your local MP, right? If you're unhappy, go talk to the player rep. Go talk to the owners and say, hey, change it. But I don't think they're going to if they both agree on it, right? So let it go.
Franklin goes over the CFL soft cap. That to follow that meme about the long-term
Man. I watched too much Franklin over the last few months. So just
Hey, me too. Me too. Oh,
man.
Adam, you too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just on the combine out there in the fields. It's a great show. Check it out. anything else for you, CFL related, Adam?
No, not really. Hopefully lots of these guys here will get their chance to play some pro football that deserve their opportunity. They put a lot of time and effort into it. Hopefully they get a good shot at it. If they don't get drafted, I hope maybe some of them get onto a walk-on and prove that they could still beat some of these guys and go in and try out and get an opportunity some other way. But always fun watching the CFL draft just because, you get to hear some of these schools mentioned that don't maybe get a lot of exposure, the U of S or the U of R or Wilfrid Laurier. I know they get lots from usually Dwayne Ford, but there's other ones as well. that are just great football centers. Hopefully you get out there and watch some of these games because they're pretty fun to watch. And yeah, that's how you see the future stars.
Couldn't have said it better myself if I tried. All right, let's once again, we'll get into wrapping up the CFL show here. And y'all good to stick around for a little bit, chat a little more around sports stuff for a few minutes here after we wrap things up. Okay. Thanks, y'all, everybody, for tuning in. CFL draft preview so far here today. And we're looking forward to the draft on Tuesday once again. Join the Discord community. Link in the episode description. We'll have, I'm sure, some draft chatter going on in the CFL channel over there in our Discord community. Link in the episode description. Join that. Next week, we'll recap the draft, talk about what each of the teams did. Once again, at probably a pretty high level there. And then we're going to get into season preview content going forward there as well. Follow us over on social media. We are on X at CF Countdown Pod and Facebook.com/CF Countdown Pod. You can find the show there. Check out all the other great shows from around the Canadian Football Podcast Network as well at CF Pod Network on Twitter. And the Alternative Football Network at the official AFN on Twitter or alternativefootballnetwork.com. UFL season still going on. Make sure you check out all the other great content going on over there. I didn't see any 60-plus yard field goals this week, though, and I don't think. But the season is ongoing nonetheless. You can find me on X at CooperTrooper42. Maybe one day I'll change this slide to actually say X instead of Twitter. We'll see. I'm just waiting for Elon to change it back. Mike is still MIA. Rumors have it he'll be back in the preseason. But you can find him at Mike Garrell on X. Trey, where can people find you?
You can find me on the X at Trey Harness Link. Yeah, if you want horse racing, USC, football, baseball, everything, find me there. I'm so tired right now, guys. Let's
just go here. You don't have to stick around.
I got horse racing stuff to do, so I'll work in the background here and we'll talk some stuff. I like talking to you guys about other stuff.
Sounds good. Adam, where can people find everything you've got going on and reminders that green is in fact the color?
Yep, green is the color. Football is the game. Trey Colbeck's team lost last night. So
you know what? When they lose, they're not my team. Okay. When they lose, I said all year they were garbage. When they win, I said all year they were the best.
Calling the Jets Trey's team is very like loose. Okay.
My favorite hockey team is the one probably from Shoresy. Like that's about, or the one from the Goon. That's about it.
So in other words, the two fake hockey teams that don't exist.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say the one from Utah that doesn't have a name yet.
Honestly, well, I mean, they're the official rights holders to Jets 1.0 history now, so I guess
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And the whiteout, right? So they are the official holders of that. So, yeah.
Nevertheless, you can find me at AdamStewart1, usually trying to mock Trey with a GIF or something on X right now because, you know, I don't know why we have any GIF wars, but we do for some reason. Or you can go over and check out probably my newly polished tractor. It'll be over on X eventually when I get it all finished up. And of course, there'll be lots of seeding harvests. I'm on the harvest. Seeding pictures, farm pictures, filling up the air drills pictures happening probably after next week because we'll be starting in the field. So, yeah, all that good stuff you can find over at the X. Or you can find me at Instagram or Facebook or wherever your favorite social media platform is.
Right on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. We appreciate it if you do the fun things. Like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, share the show with your friends. Help us grow the show. We always appreciate that. If you're watching on the live podcast feeds, you will see the closing thanks for watching video playing here in a second. But stick around afterwards. The stream won't end. We'll still be here. We'll still be talking. What we'll be talking about, who knows, random stuff, I'm sure, sports related or maybe even non-sports related. So be pit, stick around for that. And if you are listening to the audio feeds and want to go check that out after the fact, well, you can find the link to the YouTube video always in there as well. On behalf of Adam and Trey, I'm Ryan saying thank you for listening. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.